You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and we cover down, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, we are going now to that segment that I love. Every Wednesday we do this thing we call the Grand Council with my brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We get together, we opine, we ask questions, we see how the others answer. We don't always agree, but we love each other nonetheless when it's done. So these two guys have been doing it longer than I have. Let me call the roll. FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast, and also the executive editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you, brother. All right. WVNN, that's 92.5 FM, 770 AM, Cumulus Broadcasting up in Huntsville. Program director Guy also writes for Yellowhammer. Dale Jackson, do you be here?
What?
All right. He's there. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! All right. You know the deal, fellas. We ping each other with questions. Dale Jackson, you first, man. What you got?
All right. I made this video for Yellowhammer today. I asked Jeff about it earlier. I want to get your thoughts on it as well, Senator Williams. Donald Trump announced he's running for president, obviously. I think we all remember this from yesterday. Yeah. It was about an hour and 20 minutes long, and it made you want to pull your eyeballs out. Yeah. But it happened either way. So here's my question. Since 2020, when Trump lost by hook or by crook, where has he picked up a single vote? What has he done? What has he said? What has happened? What has he done where he has picked up a single vote?
What is he? What you mean, like in the midterms, or what are you asking me?
No, I mean, like, what has he done? Like, what would make someone who voted against him in 2020 vote for him right now? What has he done? What's happened?
Oh, and I would say the answer to that, is he's not Joe Biden. That's what he's going to have to run on at first. Is here's the things that I will bring back that I know you miss. I mean, that was half his speech was, look what I did then, which I get it. But yeah, he has nothing to run on right now except I'm going to put it back where it was and make it even better than that. I mean, that's all he's got. I can't say that there's any achievement that's arrived since he left office.
Or policy idea or anything like
nothing.
That or help that he's helped anyone or done anything.
Nothing.
Sorry, Jeff. Go
ahead. But I do think, I'll say this before I go to Jeff. I do believe, though, that the merits of what he was doing policy-wise are proving themselves out now that we are suffering the loss of those policies. Jeff, what you got?
Well, he's been a private citizen, so what's he supposed to do, like reduce the marginal tax rate or something? So I don't – look, here's what matters, and this is not meant to be pro-Trump, but his approval rating versus Joe Biden, he has gained ground there. That's important. I mean, that matters. So, you know, when he goes head-to-head against Biden's damaged goods, he has gained – theoretically, approval-wise, I guess that's one way of measuring what he's gained against Joe Biden. Here's what you, I guess, the answer to your question. He may not have gained a vote for Trump, but he's gained at least some people that may stay home and not vote for Biden.
Your own question, Dale. What do you think?
No, you guys are right. Nothing.
No. You don't get off that easy. When has Dale Jackson ever been that quiet? Oh, no.
I'm telling you, that's it. I mean, that's it. He's done nothing that has endeared himself to a single human being since then. He's been divisive, as he's always been. Since the 2020 election, January 6th has taken place, all this Mar-a-Lago garbage that has gone on. He went after DeSantis and everyone else. I mean, he's just been on a wrecking ball attack, and Joe Biden sucked in 2020. It was about Trump. And this is going to be about Trump as well, not Joe Biden. And I don't see that ending very well.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that I am concerned about is I want it to be about policies. And this is partly me. I don't want it to be as much about Trump. And right now, with him in the race, I will say this. It's going to be all about Trump from both sides. Yep. They don't have to talk about policy. They talk about him. Next question, Jeff. What you got?
We had leadership elections in the Senate today. Obviously, McConnell is once again reelected. Katie Britt, not really clear what she did. We know Tommy Tuberville backed Mitch McConnell, backed him very publicly. 10 votes for Rick Scott, not a very impressive showing. Katie Britt all throughout the election said, we need new blood. And as soon as the election takes place, put out a statement that doesn't say anything, just says, reiterates something about new blood and then beating or winning Georgia for Herschel or whatever. She voted for Mitch McConnell, didn't she?
I feel certain she probably did. It's a secret ballot vote, but then again, if she didn't, you know what? If she did, you'd think she should go ahead and say it and try to curry favor. But nonetheless, I don't know. I don't know what she did. It was a secret ballot. 10 votes went to Scott. The only people that I've seen openly say were Braun, Holly, and Lindsey Graham said they voted for Scott. Voted for Scott against McConnell. Your thoughts, Dale? What you think?
She voted for him. She told him she was going to vote for him. She should have voted for him. And absolutely no question about it. He was going to win no matter what. We can have all these philosophical arguments we want to have. But at the end of the day, Mitch McConnell was going to be the leader no matter what. There's no reason to jump out there and throw yourself on a spike for no reason in the very beginning.
Well, let me ask y'all a procedural question then, because I feel like I should know the answer to this, and I don't apparently. Jeff, or either one of you. So Shelby is still in the seat. Did they have the vote today of the new members who will be seated later?
So
it was the new members voting, you're saying?
New members. This organizational session.
Okay. All right.
Except for Herschel Walker. He wasn't there.
Well, which is one of the reasons why people like Cruz and others are saying, why are we doing the vote now when there's still one more race to be decided? I get. That would have also given Scott more time to get some ground, but I don't think he would have prevailed. But I'll tell you what's infuriating is right out of the gate, the first thing that Mitch McConnell did is he went to the press and he goes, I never said there was going to be a red wave. I mean, I just spent tens of millions of dollars so we could have mediocrity. It's just unreal.
Well, let me ask y'all this. I think Mitch McConnell's got a target on him now. I don't think he is necessarily bulletproof. 10 votes, not really big, but it does show the way that town works, man. They will stab you in the back, and the knives are out for him.
Oh, I agree. I think he's a marked man at this point. He's also 82 years old. At what point do you stop? I mean, do you not have grandkids you care about? What the heck? All right, my question. Let me jump in there before we run out of time. Speaking of leadership, so House and Senate leadership is pretty much in place now for Alabama's House and Senate. Speaker Ledbetter, Pro Tem Reid, do you expect to see any red meat conservative issues being thrust to the forefront, like school choice? Will gambling come back? Your thoughts on what this leadership crew is going to oversee. Dale, you first.
Unless they're going to stab the AEA in the back, which is exactly what they should do, I don't expect anything on school choice unless it's AEA approved, meaning it won't be good enough. So I don't see that. Maybe they'll figure something out on tax rebates or tax cuts or some combination of the two. But when it comes to they've already taken all the social issue swings except for education. So what else are they going to do?
Jeff?
Watch the House. Watch Scott Stadhagen. He's a guy I think is a very interesting character. Back the bathroom bill, as it was called last year. Not exactly the typical establishment. Yay, economic development and rural broadband Republican. Watch that. I do think that something's got to change. I do not think that the Mac McCutcheon path was sustainable, where you worked lockstep with the governor's office. I do think it may not be enough for some of us, but I do think it's going to change a little bit more. You're going to see a little bit more action out of the House. I think the Senate was passing stuff, and they were sending it to the House where it would just die.
Yeah, I think that happened a lot. I think you're going to see some red meat, and probably going to be touted by Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth as he tries to build street cred for, taking the office of governor later on. But I think you're also going to wind up seeing, it's a very strong chance, in my opinion, you're going to wind up seeing gambling come back. I mean, I think it's going to come back in the first year. There's going to be a major gambling casino expansion bill if they can get their act together, and which I'm not for, by the way. But I think the leadership that we just named is pretty soft on the topic. And so I think that's going to happen. School choice, I think it's going to fall by the wayside again. Again. All right, Boomer, that's round one. Perfect timing, 4:16 p.m. All right, fellas, stand by. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. Round two of the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and Dale Jackson from 92.5 FM 770 AM WVNN up in Huntsville. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Jumping right back into the Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from 92.5 FM 770 AM WVNN and Yellowhammer News. I think it's round two, starting with you, Dale. What you got, bud?
Speaking about the state of Alabama and everything we've seen going on, here, which is not much. John Wall called it a red wave. He is the head of the Alabama Republican Party. I don't know if he took part in that red wave by voting or not. Who knows how that went down. But the issue I think that is at hand is, was it really a red wave? They just kind of held serve. Now, they already had a huge lead. I mean, they've got a supermajority in both and all the bodies and all the statewide seats. Would you call that a red wave? I mean, it was just kind of a hold serve. What do you think?
I think, you know, he was looking, okay, first of all, no, but yes. And I say that because the down ballot, when they flipped some county seats, they flipped some county commissioners, they flipped some sheriff's races, I believe. So when he's looking at it from a statewide perspective, like everything all the way down to the far end of the ballot, there were some pickups. And so they're calling that a red wave. But anyway, nonetheless, I'm still frustrated with certain things that we lost on, like we gave away Charlotte Meadows' seat down in the Pike Road area, and there's a couple things that I'm frustrated with that could have done better. I think we would have seen Senator Vivian Figures go down if it had been truly a red wave. But Jeff, your thoughts, bud?
No, I agree with you. I don't think it was a red wave. They lost one seat in the House, but gained one as well. They oversold it. I think the Jersey County Sheriff's race was one we were supposed to watch. That ended up being a loss for Republicans by 3-4 points. A couple of seats in the Black Belt that the Republicans were targeting. None of the stuff that there been a red wave, be it national or statewide, happened. So, no, you don't get to call it a red wave. I'm sorry.
Hey, I will say this on that sheriff's race in Jefferson County, because we had Jared Hudson on our show here several times, but one thing that is interesting is he did come out of nowhere, never having run for anything before, ran against an incumbent and took him to within a few points. And so there is some credit due to that. But, of course, it didn't wind up being a win. Your own question, Dale, what are you thinking?
That was a trick question. Of course it was a red wave. I mean, like I said, they took all the seats. They got all the amendments passed that they wanted. They swapped out one person that they didn't want for one that they did and held the exact same number, have a supermajority across the board. Yeah, absolutely. Red wave all the way around. And yeah, if they fended off a bunch of libertarian drug users who wanted to get in there, and they drove Democrats down even lower. Yeah, absolutely. Huge win for John Wall in the ALGOP.
I smell sarcasm. Do you smell sarcasm, Jeff? I smell.
No, it's not sarcasm. Be 100% serious.
Come on.
Yeah, I think just try to be contrarian is what you smell.
No, right. I thought it was. I mean, they had a supermajority. They held it. I think that's a red wave.
Good job, Dale.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. We love you. All right. Jeff, your question. What do you got?
International affairs. Yesterday, this time, everybody was on edge, thought we were heading World War III.
Yep.
You guys have both served. I'm the one lone member of the Grand Council, not having served in the military, but I don't see how we make it through the next few years without this spilling over in some way and expanding. It doesn't look like this. It looks like we're at a stalemate, or the Russians and Ukrainians are at a stalemate. And the more this goes down, each side, I think, well, especially the Ukrainian side, wouldn't mind seeing this escalate. What do you think? It's bound. Its ultimate destination is escalation.
Well, I did a whole segment on the show yesterday called Flashpoints, and this is the biggest one. And it's a definite flashpoint. There's an opportunity for spillover in a big way. That missile strike is still being assessed. No one wants it to be a true Russian strike right now. They want it to be a mistake or an errant Ukrainian missile that just didn't go well because they didn't know how they're, you know, how to fire the guidance systems. But the bottom line is this: if Putin wants to make it bigger, it doesn't take much. But it's not truly a stalemate, in my opinion, Jeff. I mean, right now the Ukrainians are still putting the wood to them. They drove them right out of Kherson. The Russians had to blow the bridges across the Dnieper River to keep them from coming after them, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Putin's kind of on his heels and trying to figure out how to save face at this point. He doesn't even do his own press conferences anymore. He has his generals go do it like he used to do them himself. So it's a dicey situation, but it is truly a flashpoint, Dale.
I think there were a lot of people actually who at the very beginning were like, okay, we got to go. We got to make sure that this is met with the force that it requires. And look, Putin could have rode that rocket into Poland, and they're not going to do anything right now. They're gonna let this thing continue on until Putin gets tired, takes those regions he wants, and goes back to Russia. That's what's going to happen. Just like with Taiwan. The minute they say, we're taking Taiwan, we're going to go, no, you're not. Oh, darn. They already took it. Whatever. That's where we're going. That's where the world is right now.
Your own question, Jeff. What you thinking?
I feel like there are people in this country that want the U.S. involved.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know, and that we know who they are. As long as those people are part of our discussion here, guys, you better be watching this one and see if the United States doesn't head in that direction. I don't know what there should be. Would Biden think there's a political gain here or not? I mean, who knows? But it just feels like the winds of war blowing that way.
If is Biden really in charge? And that's the thing that bothers me is I look at this and think the man's never been in charge of anything in his life, and yet he's the one holding the nuclear codes. Is he really in charge right now, though? I don't know. All right. Hey, listen, we got about a minute. Let me ask you the quick fire question. Trump is in. Does Trump already announcing? I think some people were asking to hold off till Herschel Walker's race was over with. But is Trump being in now helpful to Herschel, or is it hurtful to Herschel? Dale?
It's hurtful. Again, just makes it makes this race all about him. There'll be a bunch of people that come out and vote against Herschel Walker just because Donald Trump likes him. That's going to happen, I think. I just don't think there's enough people that will vote for Herschel Walker just because Donald Trump does like him and vote in his favor. I think it hurts him. Donald Trump cost us 2 Senate seats in Georgia already. He's been a loser since he won that election in 2016. And this will be the next one.
Okay, never one to beat around the bush. Thank you for that. All right, Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, Donald Trump's terrible in Georgia. Needs to stay away from Georgia. I don't know that it matters whether he announces or not to Georgia as long as he stays away. But he doesn't need to be doing rallies in Georgia anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think he stays away from Georgia if he wants to help Herschel. He can say something from a distance like, "Hey, we hope you win." But look at Brian Kemp's numbers. Did far better than Herschel did on the statewide ballot. And I think that clearly indicates that, you know, and Kemp was not a Trump guy. I think it clearly indicates that Trump could be just the margin of victory. Don't do it.
Move Ron DeSantis, Tim Scott, and Brian Kemp all around Georgia for the next month. That's how you win that thing.
I totally agree. Totally. Totally. All right,
send
fellas.
Tuberville, too. Send him over there. Katie Britt as well. Get over there.
Don't talk about reparation.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Grand Council, good one, as always. Appreciate you. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, 92.5 FM WVNN, and Yellowhammer News, and me. And we'll be right back.